Today is the 18th Sunday after Pentecost, and the readings are from Philippians chapter 3, beginning in the second half of verse 4 through the end of verse 14, Psalm 180, and the Gospel of Matthew chapter 21, verses 33 through 46, and today's sermon message titled, On the Basis of Faith. Philippians chapter 3, beginning with the second half of verse 4. If anyone else think he has reason to put confidence in the flesh, I have more. Circumcised on the eighth day of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews. In regard to the law, a Pharisee. As for zeal, persecuting the church. As for legalistic righteousness, faultless. But whatever was to my profit, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them rubbish, that I may gain Christ and be found in Him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God and is by faith. I want to know Christ and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of sharing in His sufferings, becoming like Him in His death, and so somehow to attain the resurrection from the dead. Not that I've already obtained all this or have already been made perfect, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. Here ends our first lesson, Psalm 80. Hear us, O Shepherd of Israel, you who lead Joseph like a flock, you who sit enthroned above, enthroned between the cherubim, shine forth before Ephraim, Benjamin, and Manasseh. Awaken your might, come and save us. Restore us, O God, make your face shine upon us, that we may be saved. O Lord God Almighty, how long will your anger smolder against the prayers of your people? You have fed them with the bread of tears. You have made them drink tears by the bowlful. You have made us a source of contention to our neighbors, and our enemies mock us. Restore us, O God Almighty. Make your face shine upon us, that we may be saved. You brought a vine out of Egypt. You drove out the nations and planted it. You cleared the ground for it, and it took root and filled the land. The mountains were covered with its shade, the mighty cedars with its branches. It sent out its boughs to the sea, and the boughs to the sea. Its shoots as far as the river. Why have you broken down its walls so that all who pass by pick its grapes? Boars from the forest ravage it, and the creatures of the field feed on it. Return to us, O God Almighty. Look down from heaven and see. Watch over this vine, the root your right hand has planted. The sun you have raised up for yourself. Your vine is cut down. It is burned with fire. At your rebuke, your people perish. Let your hand rest on the man at your right hand. The Son of Man, you have raised up for yourself. Then we will not turn away from you. Revive us, and we will call on your name. Restore us, O Lord God. Make your face shine upon us, that we may be saved. Gospel of Matthew, chapter 21, verses 33 through 46. Listen to another parable. There was a landowner who planted a vineyard. He put a small wall around it and dug a wine press in it and built a watchtower. Then he rented the vineyard to some farmers and went away on a journey. When the harvest time approached, he sent his servants to the tenants to collect his fruit. The tenants seized his servants. They beat one, killed another, and stoned a third. Then he sent other servants to them, more than the first time, and the tenants treated them the same way. Last of all, he sent his son to them. "They will respect my son," he said. But when the tenants saw the son, they said to each other, "This is the heir. Come, let's kill him and take his inheritance." So they took him, threw him out of the vineyard, and killed him. Therefore, when the owner of the vineyard comes, what will he do to those tenants? "He will bring those wretches to a wretched end," they replied, "and he will rent the vineyard to other tenants who will give him his share of the crop at harvest time." Jesus said to them, "Have you never read in the scriptures, 'The stone the builders rejected has become the capstone'? The Lord has done this, and it is marvelous in our eyes. Therefore, I tell you that the kingdom of God will be taken away from you and given to a people who will produce its fruit. He who falls on this stone will be broken to pieces, but he on whom it falls will be crushed." When the chief priests and the Pharisees heard Jesus' parable, they knew he was talking about them. They looked for a way to arrest him, but they were afraid of the crowd because the people held that he was a prophet. The Gospel of our Lord. Today's sermon is again titled, "On the Basis of Faith." Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. The fourth century prayer I begin with. Lord, God of inconceivable power, incomprehensible glory, immeasurable mercy, unspeakable kindness, look on us in your tender love and show your rich mercy and compassion to us and to those who pray with us. Amen. For several weeks, I have begun the sermon message with this prayer from the 4th century liturgy of St. Chrysostom. I have been doing this for two reasons. First and foremost is the wording of the prayer that lifts my heart and my soul to remember the greatness of God. Greatness beyond our ability to consider and contemplate and really comprehend. The power, the glory, the mercy and kindness and tender love that shows the rich mercy and compassion to us. The second reason is that constant reminder, the faith we profess, the faith we confess, is deeply rooted in history, with a long line of believers stretching back through the eons. As such, the faith has sustained the hearts and souls of many a man and countless women and generation of children through the hardships of history. Famines, plagues, wars, conquests, brutalities unknown, such as the Roman games in the Colosseum of old. The continuing of the faith through the years is the reality of the faith that this world's brokenness and challenges cannot and will not defeat it. We know that Jesus is risen as actual human history and passed on down to us through the eons from the eyewitnesses that actually saw Jesus crucified and buried, actually saw Jesus, the risen Jesus, and ate with him too. This faith is not like any of the other religions of the world that are all of human thought and human reason and human origins. This faith reaches back to the beginning of time in the garden, seen through the lives of those written about in the earliest chapters of Genesis, then the setting apart that comes with Abraham as called by God to leave his home and follow. The promises made to Abraham came to fulfillment when the promised one that would bless all people came. As it's written in Genesis chapter 12, the Lord said to Abram, "Leave your country, your people, and your father's household, and go to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all peoples on earth will be blessed through you." So Abram left as the Lord told him. All peoples on earth will be blessed through you. This took place in the incarnation. Jesus the Christ, the Son of God, crucified and risen Lord. Realizing this reality and the greatness of God to redeem and save is such surpassing goodness and mercy and compassion shown us is something the world can never, ever take away from you. The surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. It is written in the Scriptures. The Bible witnesses in Paul's letter to the church in Philippi, Philippians chapter 3, verse 8. What is more, I consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. For whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them rubbish, that I may gain Christ. That I may gain Christ. In this verse, Paul puts forth the irony that a loss actually brings forth the gain. Growing more in knowing Christ, there is more willingness to lose oneself in self-governing, to gain what faith gains in living life daily in Christ. Faith, that inward persuasion, Jesus is the Christ, brings forth such surpassing gain, life is eternally different. Though I am so sad and grieving right now, I am still full of joy in Christ, for I know life is eternal. Paul put forth his credentials, his family background, and he lays down the case that if any Jewish person could claim righteousness in the flesh, it was he. Yet Paul shows that the righteousness that is really needed is not one found by the law in the flesh, as the Pharisees were striving diligently for, as Paul once did when he was known as Saul. The righteousness found in the law that comes from our own effort will always fall short, never attaining on our own what is truly needed. We see this in the gospel reading today. We see this in that parable Jesus told in response to the question of Jesus' authority to what he was doing and why he was doing it. The first parable that he gave was the two sons. And it points to the son that actually did what the father asked. A pointed parable to the chief priests and elders of the city, digging that they thought they were doing what God really wanted them to do, but in reality, they were not doing what God wanted them to do. That second parable of the tenants in the vineyard does the same as the first. But this parable also tells the history of the people of Israel. Witnesses that through the years God has sent his prophets, and year after year after year as he sent one, the people mistreated the prophets. Over and over, the Lord God sent his servants, the prophets, to turn the hearts of the people back to the Lord, in the words of the parable, to collect his fruit, the fruit of sweet worship of the Lord alone. The son is sent, the son is mistreated and killed too. The people listening to the parable answer the tenants will be dealt with, and new tenants who will actually give what is to be given at the harvest time will be put in charge of the vineyard. And there Jesus quotes Psalm 118, verses 22 and 23, to make his point. And he's also showing us at this moment, Scripture is the Word of God. If Scripture was not the Word of God, would the Son of God quote it to make his point? The stone rejected has now become the most important stone. Produce the fruit of the kingdom of God. The chief priests and Pharisees who heard this parable knew Jesus was talking about them. Instead of producing the fruit owed to the Father in heaven, they plot to arrest Jesus. Again, proving the point of the parable, the chief priests and the Pharisees are working what they consider the righteousness of God. They are doing what is right by following all their rules. But Jesus shows the truth here. They are not producing fruit. This is what Paul began to understand when the Lord came to him on the Damascus Road. Saul was searching out believers. Acts chapter 9, verses 1 and 2. Meanwhile, Saul was still breathing out murderous threats against the Lord's disciples. He went to the high priest and asked for letters to the synagogues in Damascus, so that if he found anyone there who belonged to the way, whether men or women, he might take them as prisoners to Jerusalem. Now, who he was as Saul is left behind as the new man in Christ, Paul, he writes in Philippians, starting of chapter 3, starting at verse 9. But whatever was to my profit, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them rubbish, that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, righteousness that comes from God and is by faith. Paul left behind who he was with all that effort of human striving to be righteous by his own abilities. Left behind, proving himself righteous by what he was doing and showing to God, rather demanding of God to see this self-righteousness and applauding, Paul left that pharisaical way of living and writes, the righteousness that comes from God and is by faith. By faith! By faith, that inward conviction that is fully persuaded Jesus is the Christ, the crucified and risen Son of God. If there could be bold shouting words expressed in scriptures, underlined, highlighted, all capitalized to emphasize, these next words are witness from Paul, more than likely would have been shouted from the rooftops. I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection. These things that come by faith. I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection. The eyewitness written testimony is in these pages of the Bible. You too can know Christ and the power of his resurrection in your own life. How? By faith. Being fully persuaded, this eyewitness testimony written in these words of Scripture are real and the truth. Jesus, the Son of God, was crucified, died, and rose on the third day. Jesus is alive and never to die again. His blood shed on the cross does, as the witness of Scripture declares, forgives sin, redeems, and saves. Paul tried the way of the Pharisees. He was greatly zealous at it. Paul describes himself in Philippians 3 in regard to the law of Pharisee, as for zeal persecuting the church, as for legalistic righteousness faultless. These things Paul used to think as to his profit, now considers them all lost. Paul knew from firsthand experience how hollow and empty his own effort at righteousness. Placing confidence in his flesh, it comes to naught. Paul laid all that aside, considering it all lost for the sake of Christ. To have Christ, all lost compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. Listen to Paul again sharing about himself in his letter to Timothy. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verses 12 through 16. I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who has given me strength, that he considered me faithful, appointing me to his service, even though I was once a blasphemer and a persecutor and a violent man. I was shown mercy, because I acted in ignorance and unbelief. The grace of our Lord was poured out on me abundantly, along with the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. Here is a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of who I am the worst. But for that very reason, I was shown mercy, so that in me, the worst of sinners, Christ Jesus might display his unlimited patience as an example for those who would believe on him and receive eternal life. Then Paul produces the fruit of faith, showing the thankfulness of his soul for the mercy shown him. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 17. Now to the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. When Paul considered the mercy and grace shown his soul in forgiveness as worst of sinners, Paul burst forth in worship and praising God. As Paul learned, we too need to fully learn. A righteousness that we try to produce by our own efforts will never be enough. It's just not enough. If human effort could produce the righteousness, the kind of righteousness that God requires to be in us, to be in his presence, earning that eternal life, the death of the Son of God would have all been for naught. But precisely the death of Christ for our sins shows that what is required is something we could never provide through our own effort. For what is required is a righteousness so pure, so holy, that only God can provide the righteousness we need. We need the very righteousness of God to take up residence in us. We need the righteousness that comes from God. We need what only God can provide, and it comes by faith. In compassion, mercy bursting forth in grace, God gave the Son to be the Savior. God's love for us was expressed in real terms there on the cross, where the great exchange took place. The sinless Son of God took on the fullness of all sin. Jesus, Son of God, became sin for us, so that the righteousness of God could be ours. The gospel of Christ is this one verse, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Martin Luther wrote, "So when the devil throws your sins in your face and declares that you deserve death and hell, tell him this: I admit that I deserve death and hell. What of it? For I know one who suffered and made satisfaction on my behalf. His name is Jesus Christ, Son of God. Where he is, there I shall be also." And that's from Luther's letter, Spiritual Counsel, Tappert Collection. Luther, faith as Luther describes it in the introduction to a letter of Romans, is this: instead, faith is God's work in us that changes us and gives new birth from God. John chapter 1, verse 13. It kills the old Adam and makes us completely different people. It changes our hearts, our spirits, our thoughts, and all our powers. It brings the Holy Spirit with us. Yes, it is a living, creative, active, and powerful thing, this faith. Faith is a living, bold trust in God's grace, so certain of God's favor that I would risk death 1,000 times trusting in it. Such confidence and knowledge of God's grace makes you happy, joyful, and bold in your relationship to God and all creatures. The Holy Spirit makes this happen through faith. Because of it, you freely, willingly, and joyfully do good to everyone, serve everyone, suffer all kinds of things, love and praise God who has shown you such grace. Thus, it is just as impossible to separate faith and works as it is to separate heat and light from fire. Listen again. Luther describes faith as this. Faith is a living, bold trust in God's grace, so certain of God's favor that it would risk death 1,000 times trusting in it. Such confidence and knowledge of God's grace makes you happy, joyful, and bold. In your relationship to God and all creatures, the Holy Spirit makes this happen through faith. Faith. Faith is living bold trust in God's grace, no matter the circumstances of life. It's being certain of God's favor, living happy, joyfully, and bold. That's faith. What does it look like in real life? These past 2 days, my brother, sister, and I have been packing up my dad's stuff to put in storage till our younger brother is able to be with us to sort through. Along with 20-something RC airplanes, several of the RC airplanes are huge. We packed his tools and packed his hobby stuff, packed all these different things these past 2 days. A part of what I packed was my father's mementos of his military career in the Air Force. And as I packed the mementos, I remembered the places and the years that each one of those items represented. All those years, all those accomplishments, they're now packed away in a cardboard box in a storage unit. If that was all that summed up his life, a cardboard box in a storage unit, it really doesn't say much. Yet there were pictures under the glass on his building table, pictures of family through the years. That says more. But what says most of what my dad, along with my mom, placed in our 4 lives as their children? A bold living faith in Jesus Christ. For each of these duty assignments and the various places we lived, whether 3 months, 6 months, or several years, the first place in that new assignment we settled down in was in a Lutheran church, and we would be in worship, and we would get involved. My mom and dad showed all 4 children a living faith, the kind of faith that Paul is writing about here in Philippians chapter 3. The things of this world, by our own efforts, cannot compare to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. I consider them rubbish, like packed away in a cardboard box now in a storage unit. That's all gone. But I can gain Christ and be found in Him, not having a righteousness of my own, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God by faith. As it's written in Philippians chapter 3, verses 10 and 11, I want to know Christ and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of sharing in His suffering, becoming like Him in His death, and so somehow to attain the resurrection from the dead. I know by faith all things will be all right eventually. As we began the message with those words from the 4th century, the faith has survived all through these years after years, and challenges like ours, challenges greater than ours, challenges less than ours, but the faith continues on as we place it into the next person's life so they too can know the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus as Lord and Savior. We need to work more on those things of passing the faith on, like my mom and dad did all through the years, making sure when Sunday came around, wherever we moved to, the first thing we did was make a home and worship with brothers and sisters in Christ. living the faith and knowing the joy of the faith, even in the midst of mourning, knowing the greatness of God, even in the midst of sorrow, even in the midst of what we're suffering as a nation right now, and all these different things happening in cities, happening in wildfires, happening with the coronavirus. We still can live joyfully and fully and boldly by faith. Because the righteousness we seek is not our own. It's a righteousness that it comes from God through Jesus Christ. Christ became sin for us, so that Christ's righteousness will be ours. The righteousness of God is ours. And it's all on the basis of faith. The Holy Spirit does this work in us as the Holy Spirit takes residence us with the faith. So whatever you're going through right now, whatever your pain, whatever your sorrow, whatever your life challenges, you can have this righteousness of God by faith and live joyfully and boldly, full of hope, because you know it will be all right in Christ, because Christ rose from the dead, and one day all who believe, all who live by faith, will rise too. That is the resurrection to come, and it is ours on the basis of faith. So rejoice and use your faith to boldly share Jesus Christ is Lord. Amen and amen.